Good morning to those I've not already said good morning to. It's good to be here. Good to be here sharing part of your worship and to hear some of the prayers that you've offered of praise, but also of need. And if there's any consolation to Monty in particular, when I leave here, I'm going to a birthday party at our church where we're having a church lunch, and Lily is 100. So, Monty, you've got a long way to go yet. Not as far as others, but there we go. No, it's good to be here. I'm going to read from the scriptures. I sound a bit echoey to me. Am I a bit echoey? Up a bit. I've got to take it down a bit. Anyway, okay. I'm going to read from 1 Corinthians chapter 15, starting at verse 1. It's Paul writing about the resurrection of Christ. Now, brothers, I want to remind you of the gospel I preached to you, which you received and on which you have taken your stand. By this gospel you are saved, if you hold firmly to the word I preached to you, otherwise you have believed in vain. For what I received I passed on to you as of first importance, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, that he was buried, that he was raised on the third day according to the Scriptures, and that he appeared to Peter and then to the 12. After that he appeared to more than 500 of the brothers at the same time, most of whom are still living, though some have fallen asleep. Then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles, and last of all he appeared to me also, as to one abnormally born. That's Paul. For I am the least of the apostles and do not even deserve to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God I am what I am, and his grace to me was not without effect. No, I worked harder than all of them, yet not I, but the grace of God that was with me. Whether then it was I or they, this is what we preach, and this is what you believed. But if it is preached that Christ has been raised from the dead, how can some of you say there is no resurrection of the dead? If there is no resurrection of the dead, then not even Christ has been raised. And if Christ has not been raised, our preaching is useless, and so is your faith. More than that, we are then found to be false witnesses about God, for we have testified about God that he raised Christ from the dead. But he did not raise him if in fact the dead are not raised, for if the dead are not raised, then Christ has not been raised either. And if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. I'm taking you back 3 weeks to Easter morning. Been very disciplined in our house. It was only a couple of days ago that we ate the last piece of Easter egg. But do you think back to that Easter morning just 3 weeks ago? I don't think it was sunny on that day, but you felt joy. I'm sure you celebrated, along with Christians throughout the world, the fact that Christ is risen. Did you? My question to you this morning is, do you still feel that same joy that Christ is risen? Because if we don't have that overwhelming sense that Christ is risen, that Christ is with us, then our faith is useless and we have nothing to witness to. The cross is vital. We should never forget the suffering of our Lord on the cross. His shed blood for the forgiveness of our sins. But if we stop at the cross, then Jesus is just a good man who suffered and died as a martyr. The resurrection brings Christ to life. It brings our faith to life. It is absolutely vital to our belief. But you know, we haven't personally seen the risen Jesus in the flesh, unless you tell me otherwise. We haven't had that opportunity to touch him. And we rely on the testimony of those who did. We rely on the testimony of the apostles who did see Jesus risen from the dead. And remember some of the things they did with them. They listened to him. And the thing that always impresses me most of all is they ate fish with him. Jesus ate fish with his disciples. Now just think about that. If Jesus was some apparition, some ghostly figure, and he ate fish, where would it go? It would just end up as a blob on the floor, wouldn't it? Jesus did things quite deliberately. He wanted to show to his disciples that he was truly risen. And you remember how when he was on the road to Emmaus, he talked with disciples, and it was as he unpacked the scriptures, as he revealed what the scriptures said about him, that they came to recognize him. But you'll also be familiar with that wonderful character unfairly referred to as Doubting Thomas. Very unfair, really. You remember that Thomas wasn't with the disciples when Jesus first appeared to them. And they told him in great excitement, "We've seen the risen Jesus." And Thomas said, "Unless I see for myself, unless I feel and touch him for myself, I will not believe." And it was a week later that the disciples were again together in a locked room, and Jesus appears to them, and he invites Thomas to put his finger in his side to feel the wound from the spear. He invites him to touch his hands and says, "Stop doubting and believe." And Thomas says, "My Lord, my God." He saw for himself and he believed. But this is the crunch sentence in all of that. And the message for us as Christians today. Jesus said, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe." Blessed in that context means being happy, being contented, being at peace with ourselves. Are those who have not seen and yet believe. There's a clear message there that our faith, our trust in Jesus, should not depend on the physical evidence of Jesus himself. Paul later writes in 2 Corinthians 5 verse 7, he says, "We live by faith and not by sight." You know, we exercise faith in all kinds of ways. We have a miniature apple tree in our garden, which last year bore a huge amount of fruit. And next thing I see, when the autumn comes, Jean has pruned it. Give Jean a pair of pruners and nothing remains. And I looked at this tree only a couple of weeks ago and thought, that's it, it's done with. It's dead. But you know, a couple of weeks later, all those little sprouts, bush, you know, the buds, new branches forming, new fruit forming. It'll be brilliant. When we look at something in a moment, we can think it is dead. And then it comes to life. Mobile phone technology, you know, you believe in it without seeing it. Can you imagine sending a text message? Can you imagine if you could see text messages in the air? How many billions of them there would be? But we trust them. They don't always get to the intended person, but usually they do. It's marvelous, isn't it? And when we switch the lights on, have you ever seen electricity? You see the effect of it, don't you? We rely on things we can't see all the time. Our faith in Jesus is built on the historic event of the resurrection. Let nobody tell you it didn't happen. It's something we personally didn't witness. We trust the recorded testimonies of those who did. But most importantly, we have that relationship with Jesus in our hearts. We know he is risen. He might not be wandering around Langley Mill with a body, but he is here in his spirit. He is risen. And the importance of walking by faith and not by sight is that what we see can distort things. Jane and I had a couple of days up in the northeast coast last weekend. We went to Whitby, one of Kath's favourite places, she will confess, under pressure. And we looked on booking.com, like you do, and we chose this hotel that was right on the top of the West End, Westcliff. And the brochure about it said it has glorious views over Sands End. So we thought we'd go for that, and we even booked a room with a sea view. Now, on last Sunday evening at 6:30, we were sat in the restaurant in this hotel, and immediately next door to the hotel was a golf course, and immediately next door to the hotel was a green, and you could not see it. Thick fog. Couldn't see a thing. But was that glorious view there? It was just that we couldn't see it. But we had absolute faith that come the rolling away of the fog, all would be well, which it was the following morning. The Christian journey is a bit like that. There are times when the fog of circumstances rolls in and prevents us seeing what is really in front of us, prevents us seeing what God is doing. Anybody who's in leadership of a Christian church will know that sometimes just the sheer activity that's involved in running a church can cloud the judgment of what God is doing in that place. God is at work. There are times when the presence of God is so powerful and clear and brilliant that causes us to praise and rejoice, what we call a mountaintop experience. And in those moments, nobody can take anything away from our faith. We truly believe, we truly trust. God is great, praising and leaping and joyous. Isn't life wonderful? And aren't those people irritating when we're not feeling so good ourselves? Or perhaps they're inspirational. There are times when the Christian journey just seems unexciting. Well, it's just ordinary, isn't it? Oh, it's Sunday again. Time to go to church. Oh, it's time to go home now. Get on with our lives. And there are those times when we plunge into the darkness of despair because of circumstances, whatever they might be, and we get to that point of saying, where's God in this? I'm really pleased, Cyril, that you had a bit of a conversation with God when you weren't feeling well, because he knows how you feel. You might as well tell him. What God admires and wants from us all is our honesty. And the Apostle Paul understands that the Christian journey has its ups and downs, which is why he writes in Romans chapter 8 that the Spirit helps us in our weakness. We don't know what to pray for, but the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groans that words cannot express. And who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors. And Paul writes, for I am convinced that neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor the powers, neither height nor depth, nor anything else in creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. The fog may be around us, but the Word of God is there to encourage us. What we see can distract us from the truth. If you look at the world at the moment, it's in a pretty sorry state. You switch on the news and chemical attacks in Syria. World leaders posturing, threatening to blow each other up. It's great stuff, isn't it, really? More locally, all the knife crime that's going on in our big cities. Terrorist attacks. And increasingly, Christian people suffering from all kinds of disabilities and illnesses and cancers. You know, at our church in Belper, I think we've got 6 people receiving treatment for cancer. And some people in our church are saying, what's happening here? What's happening here? You know, is the devil having a go at us? Are we under attack through all these illnesses? But we as a leadership have turned it on its head and said, well, no, actually, that's life. But interestingly, virtually all of those people suffering from serious cancer have come to our fellowship in the last 12 months. They've been drawn there. And why have they been drawn there? Because there is a place where 2 things happen. One is they hear the Word of God. And secondly, they receive pastoral care unparalleled in my experience. God gathers people to receive the blessings he wants to give. But it's the eyes we look at these things that make a difference. If we look at the world and our circumstances through our eyes, it can seem pretty grim. But when we look at things through God's eyes, we begin to see him blessing and encouraging. The people of Jesus' time saw things through human eyes. The Pharisees, the scribes, the priests, they saw the miracles Jesus did and they kept asking for more signs. Keep on proving yourself, Jesus. They heard what he said and they didn't believe him. They accused him of blasphemy. They refused to believe. And all the time they failed to see the hypocrisy in their own lives. Here's a challenge for you. Look around the room. What do you see when you look around this room? One thing you won't see, I'm absolutely convinced, is a cobweb or a speck of dust. But what do you see when you look around the room? These days we don't even see that the carpet needs replacing. We don't see the walls need painting. Oh, there's a bit of a mark over there. Do you know the most important thing? I want to tell you two really key things you need to see when you look around this room. You need to see that cross. And what strikes you about that cross? It's empty. Christ is risen. He has conquered death. He's defeated sin. He's victorious, making us more than conquerors too. What else do you see when you look around this room? Perhaps you see some empty seats. There are some empty seats. Well, I want you to look at again. Just look again. Don't look at the empty seats. Look at the seats with somebody sat on them. Because what you're looking at there are what the writer to the Hebrews calls a crowd of witnesses. In Hebrews chapter 12, the writer says, therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us throw off everything that hinders and the sin that so easily entangles, and let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Now, the writer of Hebrews there is referring to the great characters of the Old Testament, and he lists them and describes them. But it strikes me, it applies equally to every Christian is a witness. And sat here this morning, each person here is surrounded by other witnesses to the risen Lord Jesus. Because our relationship with God through Jesus has changed us. We are a new creation. That's what the Word of God promises. The old has gone, the new has come. Our view of God and each other has changed. We no longer look at each other from a worldly point of view. We don't measure each other's success by the outward trappings of life. We accept we are brothers and sisters saved by grace. We've received the Holy Spirit. Do you believe that you have received the Holy Spirit? Every believer in Jesus Christ has received the Holy Spirit. And that Holy Spirit was sent for one reason: to make us witnesses wherever we are. We're witnesses to the risen Christ. We are Christ's ambassadors. In 2 Corinthians 5, verse 20, Paul writes, we are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. As part of a Christian fellowship, we are a crowd of witnesses to what Christ is doing in our lives. We need to remember that. We need to remember it as we share fellowship together. We need to remember it tomorrow morning when we're down the shops and getting irritated by that long queue at the checkout in Asda. You see, our witness is where we are. And God knows what's in our hearts. He looks at us in a different way. You know, when we look in the mirror in the morning, we make sure that, you know, there's no egg on our shirt or anything like that. God looks at the heart. And what he sees in the heart, actually other people do. You know, you can keep up a pretense for so long in life, but sooner or later, the real us emerges. And that's when we witness for or against Jesus Christ. We walk by faith and not by sight. Let people see the Jesus in us. What anchors our faith in the difficulties of life? It's our personal relationship with God in Jesus, but it's the Word of God. Paul writes in Romans chapter 10, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the Word of Christ. You know, if we live with the Word of God firmly implanted in our minds, and if we've not got a very good memory these days, I know what it is to lose memory. Make sure you have a Bible where you can find things. Put little stickers in there or whatever it is, but have the Word of God firmly in your mind. Because we rest on what God's Word says, not on how we feel, not on what we can see. And that Word of God will give us perseverance, it'll give us confidence and enable us to step outside our comfort zone. Cathwart was at the East Midlands Baptist Association Assembly yesterday, and we listened to Dr. Kang Sang Tang, who's the new director of the Baptist Missionary Society. I personally found him very inspiring. But you know what he was basically saying? We've got to have confidence in the gospel. You just got to have confidence in it, trust it, share it, live it. And if you really want the empty seats to be filled, proclaim the gospel. Proclaim the gospel of salvation through faith by grace. Proclaim Jesus Christ risen and live it. And God will do the rest. Trust in the Word of God, because when that fog descends, it can be difficult to see. But he will never, ever abandon us. Amen. Let's just pray together. Lord, we do thank you that you are risen. We thank you that you are Our Lord who forgives us, our Lord in whom we can have complete trust. And Lord, we just pray that each and every day we will walk by faith and not by sight. We trust in your word. Where you make a promise, you will keep it. And we just ask that we will have the courage, the confidence, the perseverance to live our lives as true and faithful witnesses to the risen Jesus. Lord, we know that the fog of life just distorts things. So we ask you to dispel that fog so that we can see more clearly. But whilst the fog remains, just help us to hang in there, trusting in your every word. In the name of Jesus, amen.